Hello and welcome to J.P. Morgan Markets. I'm Meera Chandan, co-head of FX Strategy, and I'm joined today by our FX strategists in Tokyo, Ben Sutil and Ikoi Saito. We've had what should be considered a fairly historic outcome for the BOJ this week. They've delivered the first hike since 2007. This, I think, could be considered the most hawkish outcome possible because they've delivered on all fronts. They've scrapped yield curve control targets. They've exited negative interest rates. And yet, we're seeing dollar yen, back above 150. And as I speak, inching slowly towards 151. So, Ben, let's start with you. Is this outcome really not as hawkish as what I'm thinking? And what's really driving this dollar yen move?
Thanks, Meera. Okay, I think you're absolutely right that in terms of relative to where we were thinking about going into this meeting versus market expectations, the BOJ has delivered at the hawkish extreme. What do I mean by that? Effectively, not only did we get an exit from negative rates, as you say, we also got an exit from YCC policy, as well as asset purchases along the lines of the ETF and the J-REIT purchases. I think on the flip side, we also got a commitment from the BOJ to continue with JGB purchases at roughly the same clip as they've been buying up until this point. I think that is likely to change over time. So in other words, it's probably right to think about the BOJ's balance sheet shrinking gradually over time. But that reduction in the balance sheet is not happening today. And because of that, we're not seeing a lot of upward pressure on Japan, on domestic yields. So that in itself is, if you like, the dovish lining to what was otherwise a fairly hawkish outcome. I think to your point, why is dollar yen back higher? To me, it's really an idea of, as we've been saying for some time now, I think on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, buy the rumor, sell the fact. And that was quite clear in the price action going into this meeting. I think also, though, there's a sense that, there was a bit of an event, a bit of event risk around this BOJ meeting. That's now out of the way. And the idea that we're going back to the, I guess, playbook that we've had for some time now, short the yen as a funding currency, long high-yielding currencies, is probably one reason that dollar yen has rebounded so quickly.
Thanks, Ben. So it sounds like dovish elements came from the JGB purchases, but let's talk about the implications for the future rate path. Do you get a sense that that needs to be now revised hawkishly? Obviously, we have to keep in mind that, the dollar yen movements are not just about what the BOJ is doing, but also about the Fed. And, we have that tomorrow. But is there anything from the BOJ side of the equation that does anything to change the yen outlook?
I think the bottom line is probably not. And I don't mean that in the sense that I don't think the BOJ is not going to do anything from this point. And actually, we have now brought forward our expectations for further BOJ hikes. We're now seeing a hike in July and December of this year. That's up from just one in the forecast prior to this meeting. I think Ueda was quite clear that if inflation forecasts need to be continually revised upwards, that in itself can be a factor for a change in monetary policy. But the question is, even with the BOJ hiking a couple of times this year, does that really alter the balance between the yen versus, let's say, the rest of the G10 block? It's not clear that it really does. So to your point, to me, the bigger risk here is that if the market is increasingly thinking about taking out Fed cuts in the second half of the year, and let's see what the FOMC brings. But that, to me, the idea of the Fed doing a little bit less in the second half is probably much more important for thinking about dollar yen than the BOJ doing a little bit more.
Okay, so it sounds like a start in the right direction, but of course, it's not just the BOJ that matters. It also depends on the global landscape. But equally, let me now turn to you, and I want to talk about the press conference. I think one interesting aspect to me was that Ueda commented a lot more on the currency than usual. Is that your takeaway from the presser as well? And what do you think that reflects on their sort of reaction to the developments in the currency market?
Thanks, Meera. Yes, as you said, Ueda has had a bit more comment on FX, and he said that on FX, if he sees the yen depreciation has so much impact on the inflation forecast, it could be a reason for changing policy. So Ueda has talked about FX impact on the policy before, but it's the first, this time it's more strong. strongly committed comments on FX than the previous times he talked about it. And for the further, of course, the market's eyes will be in intervention as the dollar yen is inching towards 151. So we think that currently the intervention risk will get higher if dollar yen breaks 151. If it goes higher and higher, as Ueda says, the risk for further monetary policy changing coming from FX side can be actually realized.
Okay, so it sounds like if we have a situation in which the market is testing dollar yen higher, we could have both the MOF and the BOJ sort of positioning against that, or at least fighting against that move, which is a bit of a contrast from what we've seen, I guess, in the past, at least as far as the BOJ is concerned. So Ben, I think, you know, let's just talk about the big picture here. And you mentioned sort of what the rest of the global central banks are doing is an important part of how yen behaves. I think one source of contention here is that even with multiple rate hikes, yen is going to end up with the most negative real yields globally. And that's been one major factor that's been weighing on yen. So let's just take an example of, you know, now we have our new Fed call, new BOJ call of, you know, 50 basis points of hikes by the end of 2024. If the BOJ does actually lead us with a terminal to that 50 basis points, or perhaps even higher 1%, you know, let's just consider a hawkish outcome here, what would the real policy rate look like in that scenario? Would it still be highly negative?
Yeah, I mean, if you take the BOJ's own inflation forecasts, they're running pretty close to 2%. So even with a terminal rate at 1% on the nominal policy rate, you're still running a real policy rate of negative 100 basis points, give or take. So I think it's important to put that in the global context, as you say, Mira. I mean, at this point in time, if I look at the currencies, the countries that we cover, there's only one other economy with a more negative real policy rate than Japan, and that is Turkey. So you kind of put the yen in the same peer group as Turkey and things start to look a little bit different. So I think this goes back to the idea that even with the BOJ on the move, you know, is this really a game changer for the yen? We've been pushing back against that idea for some time now. I think it is right to think about the BOJ on the move. It is right to think about the balance sheet starting to shrink. But does that necessarily mean we're at an inflection point for the yen? Probably not.
Thanks. I guess we already spoke about the risk of intervention, and you said around, you said around 151, there is a risk of intervention here. Is there any particular markers we should be looking for? I mean, I guess in the past you've said it's, you know, if it's a high vol move, when an accelerated move, that's when the MOF is keen to push back. So do you think those conditions are now being met?
So as we've been flagging the report several times, that the Joe Boning is a one good indicator to see how close the intervention is. So I think the comments from Kanda or Finance Minister Suzuki would be an important thing to watch. And in fact, during the press conference today, the Finance Minister Suzuki also talked about the impact on FX. So we can see that the Joe Boning is actually already starting. So the tone of the Joe Boning will be something key to watch from here.
Thanks, Hikoe. So Ben, let's put it all together. What's the bottom line here on yen? And also, aside from the speakers from MOF and BOJ regarding intervention and policy, is there anything else we should be looking at? Could the purchase amount of JGB operations perhaps have a signal on the kind of hawkish or a dovish bias that the BOJ has?
Well, I think we're setting up for quite an interesting dynamic. And in some ways, we've seen this playbook, you know, over the last couple of years where the BOJ, you know, does push back, the BOJ and the MOF combined push back against the idea of the yen weakening. But at the same time, as we've been discussing, it's not clear that with an incremental shift in monetary policy, we're going to get a lot of bang for buck in terms of bringing dollar yen lower. So to the upside, as Ikue was saying, should we be worried about intervention? I think to some extent, but I do also think that the idea that there's a hard cap on dollar yen is probably not right. And if anything, you know, the level that prompts actual FX intervention, it's probably a moving target. And is it higher now than where it was, you know, a year ago? Potentially, yes. On the flip side, you know, we've potentially also got a, you know, a Fed view or a Fed outlook that is in flux. So to me, that sets up for quite a, I'd say, messy backdrop for the yen. But my, you know, my bias at this point in time would be that there's probably more chance of the market wanting to test dollar yen upside than, you know, than in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I suppose there's a bit of process of price discovery here and discovery of what the pain thresholds are for the MOF and the BOJ. So one can see how the conditions are going to be quite messy in the near term, particularly with the FOMC tomorrow. And I guess for what it's worth, you know, even though we've revised our BOJ, you know, IACO has revised the BOJ policy rate forecast, and she's looking for two more hikes this year. What we've also done on, you know, what Mike Feroli's done on the US side is actually taken out two Fed cuts this year as well. So essentially, you know, that kind of leaves the rate differential outlook relatively unchanged for dollar yen because both of those two policy changes kind of cancel out. But of course, more things to watch in the coming weeks, and it's going to make for quite an interesting backdrop for overall FX markets. So stay tuned. More research on this is available on JP Morgan Markets, and please feel free to reach out to any one of us to discuss this further. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2024 JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on March 19, 2024.